Hello, before we kick off today's episode, I just wanted to remind you that if you sign up to a year of the Freelance Heroes portal, a place designed to give freelancers greater presence and support, not only will you get 12 months for the price of 10, but you'll also get a free ticket for this year's Freelance Heroes Day and other events too. All you need to do is visit freelance-heroes.com. Right, on with the show. Hello and welcome to this week's Freelance Heroes podcast. I don't know if that intro music was enough time for you to go and sign up to the Freelance Heroes website. So I'm happy. If you want to pause it now, then go and sign up. So at least you know you're going to this year's Freelance Heroes Day. Amongst other reasons to sign up, I can stick around. So if you pause it now, then come back in a moment, we'll carry on. Welcome back. So a few months ago, I think it was about July time, we chatted to a few freelancers who had started their business in 2020, especially during those early months when the pandemic either hit them just before they started or hit them just after they started. Well, we're now a year into the pandemic and many people are turning to freelance because they've been made redundant or because it's something they've tried during furloughing and they quite like it, and other reasons too. So I thought, well, why don't we now have a look at those who started more recently? And this is the first episode of that. So we travel to the West Country and meet a new VA who launched their business at the back end of 2020, deep in the middle of a COVID pandemic. Enjoy. So for our first new freelancer starting a business in very almost 2021, we head to Trowbridge in Wiltshire and meet Deborah Frampton. Hello, Deborah. How are you doing?
Hi, Ed. I'm very well, thank you. Enjoying the sunshine in Wiltshire.
It is a beautiful day. It is a beautiful sunny day, I'm told, outside. I've yet to experience it, but it is. Everyone keeps telling me how nice it is. Anyway, we're now in the middle of April and you're kind of quarter into the business. First of all, tell people what it is that you do, and then we can kind of get into what those first weeks and months have been like.
So I'm a virtual assistant, and I specialize in Pinterest management, Pinterest account setups for businesses, general administration, including email management, calendar management, and diary and appointment making, and Facebook community management in groups. And so I started full time as a freelancer towards the end of 2020. And after I lost my full time job, it was a no brainer, really.
Well, you say that because, I mean, that's going to be the first thing is, you know, it's time to start a freelance business. I know, we'll do it now. And especially in December, when we were just about to enter full lockdown. You probably didn't know that at the time you started, but we were certainly right in slap bang in the middle of a pandemic. So, I mean, I don't doubt that when you lost your job, and we'll come back to that in a moment, that there must have been other avenues you explored. Why was this one the one you chose?
To be honest, I had been, when I was furloughed in earlier in the year, I'd been looking at other opportunities so that I could work in a better working environment. And I just found that the only thing that really caught my eye and made me want to take that opportunity was actually to work for myself. I like office environments. I've had a lot of experience with some very unpleasant bosses. And I thought, I'd rather just work for myself. I'll be my boss.
You like your boss at the moment. That's good.
Some people, my friends, my family, they thought I was absolutely bonkers going self-employed in the middle of one of the worst world pandemics since I don't even know the last century or so. But you know, the world is changing.
The worst we'll ever have. You mentioned about how you like the office life. So it's clearly being an environment where you bounce off others is quite important. And, you know, employed or unemployed, offices have been closed for a big period. how much did being a freelancer and not having access to that office life, how much did that play a kind of a challenge into your decision to become a freelancer?
I definitely had to really consider the fact that, yes, I would be at home, and I wouldn't be going in and being with people all the time. But to be honest, I'd started going to networking events and stuff before I lost my job. I'd go in my lunch break. I'd plan my lunch break around some networking events, chatting to people on LinkedIn, just getting out there so that I could see what it would be like if I went self-employed full-time. And what's so fantastic about now, 21st century, is we have access to do these kind of things. I'm in Wiltshire. I could be talking to somebody in Utah and in America, and it's like we're sitting in the same room. So I think with that aspect, the fact that I had access to so many networking events and community in that realm, in the VA realm, meant that it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
So am I right in thinking then, given that you were networking in your lunch breaks before, that you'd already, it was already in your mind you were going to go self-employed? I mean, when you were networking, What were you networking yourself as?
Well, more than anything, I think I sort of said I'm in the process of heading towards that direction of self-employed. And because I was still learning, I was still doing a course in virtual assistants and how it worked and what to do and what you need to know. So more often than not, I would say I'm a virtual assistant to be.
You were then. Now you're a virtual assistant live, of course, and you started in December. So try and explain what that first day was like. You know, the ribbons being cut. You are now your own boss and a more favourable one than some of your previous ones, it would seem. So what was that first, that feeling like, that now you were in control of attracting work, your own admin, all that kind of stuff that being a freelancer entails?
To be honest, I think it was a bit of a mixture of really excited and happy of getting away from, I had an extra special kind of boss in my last job. it was relief, it was excitement, anticipation, and pure unfiltered fear of the unknown. But I was, the fear was there, and the oh my gosh, what if I fail at this? But the anticipation and the excitement of being able to do it outweighed that. So it meant that I was more positive about it than I was afraid. And going freelance in this sort of time, it was pretty scary. I'm not gonna
what
lie.
What were you scared of?
Not being able to make ends meet. So not finding clients in order to pay my bills, because I had just gone through the process of applying for a mortgage. And we're just getting ready to move.
Wow.
And I decided this was going to be my life, and it was one of those I just had to make it work or I wouldn't have a house.
I mean, you don't do things by half, do you?
That's what I was most afraid of. No, I don't. Finding the clients, knowing what to charge as well, what the right, and at the start I was really open, and I hadn't niched down to what I'm doing now. I was very open, and I started to learn that jack of all trades is an expert in none, which means it's far less likely to get work when you just offer everything. So that's why I kind of started to look. In January, actually, I was like, I think I'm going to niche down. really offer something that I know about that not many people do.
So do you then, as a result, do you still market yourself as a VA, or do you market yourself as a Pinterest consultant, or, you know, focus around the Pinterest marketer, or focus yourselves on that?
No, I still market myself as a virtual assistant, okay, because I do offer other services. It's just at the moment what I found over the last 3 months particularly is there's been a lot of interest on the Pinterest side of things.
No one wants to say there's been a lot of interest in Pinterest, but it's difficult not to say that sentence.
It's kind of hard to find another word.
How did you find your first client?
So I was originally working, when I went self-employed, I went in and did a bit of associate work for another virtual assistant. And I suppose that was more their client than mine. So my first client I actually found off LinkedIn, and I connected with her, and I'd been watching her stuff and her posts and liking and commenting here and there. And I put up a post about Pinterest and saying, do you know what Pinterest can do for your business? And I did a little blurb on that. And she said, oh, I didn't realize that was it. And I didn't know it was a search engine. I thought it was a social media platform, which is a very big misconception. And we got chatting, and she's an artist wanting to sell her art online. And we got chatting, left it a little while because she was sorting out finances. And then she contacted me a few weeks later and said, I'd really love to do the setup package that you've got. When can we start? And, you know, and then we started about a week later and went really well.
Which then leads me to ask, how did you find your second client? Don't worry, I'm not going to go through the list. But what I want to know is, the reason why I ask this question is because I want to know how that built momentum, or how you started to build that momentum from there.
So with my second client, I found her at a networking event that I was going to.
You do like networking, don't you?
I do. I really do. It's my connection to the outside world.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's good to hear.
So we got chatting on this event, and she asked me what I did and wanted to know a little bit about Pinterest. And we actually ended up going with Facebook community management to start off with, because she felt that her community, her groups on Facebook were too time consuming. Mm-hmm. She's not quite ready to go to Pinterest yet. She doesn't have the content to do what needs to be done, because Pinterest you need a lot of branded pictures that I can use and all of that kind of thing. It needs to be, yeah. But so we actually went for the community management. That's been going quite well.
And it sounds it. I mean, you said yourself that because the nature of the world that we live in means that your client can be in Utah or round the corner. But do you find that you are niching in, because it's Pinterest, and Pinterest isn't the right social network for anyone? So do you find that you, or for everyone, sorry, not for anyone, for everyone. Do you find that you're niching with the type of client you're working with as well?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I'm open to taking on any clients, but there are some clients that find Pinterest a little bit more difficult to harness. I did a little bit of Pinterest work for the lady that I worked for. Her client was owned a caring company. And that's very location specific, which makes it a little bit more difficult with Pinterest. You can use Pinterest and you can zone down and target certain areas, but when it comes to really specific located areas, it is a little bit more difficult. For me, I'll do Pinterest. I'm happy to get people out there, whatever business it is. Obviously, the e-commerce and Etsy store type businesses are very much big on Pinterest. The bloggers, the health and wellness people, very big on Pinterest as well. So those are the kind of clients that I am actively looking for. But I mean, if a business wants to harness the Pinterest platform, I'm there to help.
Then you're the person to do it. So you mentioned that when you started, you had that kind of fear of both excitement and that feeling of excitement and fear, sorry, and it sounds potentially in equal measure. What's the more dominating emotion that you have now, 4 months into it? Or is it just the same?
I think the fear has, it's still there because when you go freelance, your money, your income is never 100% secure. It can come and go. And particularly if you're doing packages and stuff, they're short-term contracts, which mean, you know, it's really great to have them, but when they're gone, they're gone. So, I mean, it's still there, but I am very excited. I think that's definitely overtaken. I love what I do. I love going to as many networking events as I can fit into my day.
I love this. And of course, when we live in a restriction-free environment, I suspect that you'll be even more excited by that networking.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the influence of others too, because, you know, I always talk about how no freelancer is an island, and no matter how skilled and on their game a freelancer is, no one can do it themselves. So how do you tap into the mind of others? How do you embrace or search for the knowledge that you don't yet have as being a freelancer? You've obviously got a lot of experience in other areas, but running your own business, where do you kind of source your inspiration and drive and motivation from?
Other virtual assistants. I go to the more people who are more experienced, who have been going longer than I have. I ask questions. I go to skill sessions with different experts. So I did a little mini course with an accountant about starting a business and what the finances side of that is, setting up as self-employed on HMRC. That was terrifying. filing first tax returns, again, extremely terrifying. But I go to people who have the knowledge and I ask, and I do little courses where I can find them. There's a fantastic LinkedIn course on HubSpot that I'm just starting. I know that I have a contact who's done it and they said it was amazing. And just the support of like my family. My family have been absolutely wonderful in you know, being the cheerleader of the virtual assistants.
Which is brilliant. It's always good to have that close network to help you. What's your goal when you started out? What did you have as an idea of what it is you wanted to achieve? And I guess, you know, again, even though we're only a few weeks into it or a few short months into it, has that changed at all?
Initially, my goal was to be self-sufficient, to have the freedom to, if I need to go and do something in a day, I don't have to take time off, or I can just juggle my times and make it work. So that side of things hasn't changed, but in terms of the real nitty-gritty part of what I want to achieve, I would like to have a decent working week with enough money in for me to be able to save, travel, and just, you know, I've only got one life on this earth. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to work all the time.
No, that's a perfect goal. What do you mean by decent working week? What does that look like to you, if you could define it?
So my aim is to have 30 hours a week for various clients.
So this doesn't include the work that you do in your own business. This is 30 paid. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, so 30 paid hours. And then outside of that, that's my fun stuff. Doing stuff for my own business is my fun stuff.
I'll remind you of that next time it's a tax return.
Indeed, please do. 30 hours, I'd like to be able to, not only gives me time to do my own work and my own admin and social media and stuff, but then it gives me my weekends and my life back, as opposed to that general sort of 45-hour week, 9-to-5, face-pumping kind of job.
Not including the commute as well, of course.
Exactly. I can do it from my lounge. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to get out of my pajamas if I don't want to.
I'm trying to work out. I seem to be asked every question in two parts. I don't know why I've just worked this out now, 51 episodes into this podcast, but anyway, I'm gonna go with it. So a few months into this, what's been the low point of your freelance journey so far, and what's been the highlight?
I think the lowest point for me was when I was working with another VA as her associate, and the client had decided that we were not a good mix. And this happens.
Did you feel that? Was that agreed by you guys, or?
Less so by me, but she just felt that I wasn't the right person for what she wanted, and that it was a bit of a confidence knockdown, because I'd worked very hard, and it was like, it was one of those where it was the kind of client where everything I offered her, she didn't like. It didn't matter how many times I tried to fix things, change it, she didn't know what she wanted, and she didn't like what I was offering. And that really took its toll. I was very upset mm-hmm. when I was told, you know, we're actually going to move this person to another VA. I think my highest point was signing my first client of my own. I sourced them, I chatted to them. My first discovery call was so nerve-wracking. Had the rescue tablets there on my desk.
Oh, well done.
But yeah, that was definitely my highest point, was when those contracts came back signed and the invoice was paid. It was like, woohoo!
Excellent. Well, I'm glad. Let's focus on the highs rather than the lows, although, you know, these things are all part and parcel of the journey, of course. So you've agreed, and very kindly, to be able to kind of let us stay in touch with you in a few months' time and see how your freelance journey has been. So if we were to speak with you in, say, July, what do you hope we would have noticed, or you would have noticed, more importantly, is a difference between where you are now and then?
I would like to say that I've got some more retainer clients, one long-term clients. I've established my name as an expert, as a Pinterest expert. I'd like to have, I don't even know how to explain it. I'd like to have more clients. At the moment, it's still quiet.
No, that's all right. It's the early days. No, that's good. A Wi-Fi Bird VA, by the way.
When I was trying to choose my name, I was trying to go for something that really suited me as a person. And I was in a hole when I was working in my last job. I was very unhappy, and I really felt like I was just, you know, somewhere between being dead inside and hating my life and being on fire. And with Firebird has to burn and die before it can resurrect. So what I saw my last job was that I had to proverbially die to all my old habits, my working ways, everything, to be reborn as a Firebird that is strong and, at the risk of sounding slightly vain, beautiful, and just gives off this, wow, that's like, she's amazing. She's done an amazing job. She's come out of hell into strength. And also, I'm a mega Harry Potter fan, So there a little bit of
I love that, by the way, because what I love about that is that, you know, I often say to freelancers, you know, when things aren't working out the way you want them to, and your future, for example, is full of kind of negativity and doubt, then never forget why you started. And you've got that in presence in your name, the kind of the darkness that brought you to the light of freelancing. And it can brilliantly serve as a driver for you as well. I think that's a great story. I wish you great success for the business. I'm really looking forward. I mean, we follow each other on Twitter and social network anyway, and you're part of the community, and really looking forward to seeing it grow and evolve, and chatting to you again in a few months' time, and seeing what lessons you've learned then. But for now, thank you very much for your time, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Ed. It's been really great to chat to you.
Thank you so much to Deborah there. I love how candid so many guests are when I talk to them. People who are really interested in not only just telling their story, but clearly, it seems to me anyway, inspiring and helping others from their own lessons too. And Deborah absolutely did that too. And I should just clarify something that I said at the beginning of that, which when I asked Deborah that it's April and she was a quarter into a business, I meant she's a quarter into her first year before I get the emails. We will be doing some more chats for people who are starting out in 2021, and also talking to a publisher in one of the largest publishers, or a commissioning editor of one of the largest publishing houses as well. So if you've got any thoughts or questions around any of those two topics, then do email me podcast@freelance-heroes.com. Until next week, thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.